Hello gamers, and welcome to Game Warp, and more importantly, it's our rundown of 2021. I'm your host always, Edward Jones, and joining me, of course, is the Empress of Independent Video Game Journalism, Miss Kim Lowe.
Hello, I wouldn't call myself Empress. I've been kind of lazy. The Empress was on vacation this year, so...
But yeah, it's certainly 2020. What a year it's been, you know. Politicians lying, people are dying, and then Cyberpunk 2027 comes out and makes everything else seem so insignificant in comparison. But, you know, we're now looking at a new gaming year, which of course has brought with it a host of new things to look forward to. And, I mean, generally, I mean, with the whole lockdown situation, have you been finding yourself gaming more or... About the same, Kim.
Probably a little bit more. But then, I mean, we usually... I don't know. It's hard to determine because usually I game, I guess, a little bit more just because, you know, we're on top of the Game Warp and whatever, right? But this year we've been on kind of a semi-hiatus, so...
I know. We've been off in the depths of production hell doing Movies and Tea, which is our other show where we break down director filmography. So we had a little bit of break from the gaming scene and... You know, it's time to come back and get back into the swing of things. And what better way, really, to get back into things than to look at what we've got to look forward to in 2021, really?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think what it is we kind of restructured the show a little bit now. So, I mean, for people coming to the show, it won't be just reviews. It's going to have more discussion pieces that, you know, we've been kind of dropping here and there. Yeah, even before, but, you know, it's going to be something that's a little bit more to what, you know, a little bit aligned to more what we can do between the two of us and not, like, try to game till no end and try and make a deadline for gaming and whatever, because, you know, we just don't have that much time and too many projects.
The pressure is always there to, like, you know, just to try and stay on top of things. But, you know, as I said, we're two-person operation here. We're not like the big companies like Kakeru and, you know, IGN. These people have got masses of staff and nothing but time to game. We are obviously not the same. So we're bringing sort of more of a blogging experience. The same way that, you know, bloggers get to talk about films whenever they get around to them, we're going to bring the same sort of experience to gaming. And as we said already, we're going to start doing more discussion pieces as well as the reviews. And as always, our focus is going to be on, like, promoting independent gaming and looking back at retro gaming and just generally celebrating the gaming that we love. But that's not to say that we want to be looking at the AAA titles, and we'll still be doing coverage of things like E3 and the Video Game Awards, whatever format they happen to take.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
We don't know.
Maybe eventually it'll go back to normal. I don't, you know, I think we're going to be in the same type of situation for at least another year. Hopefully less, but, you know, who knows right now. But yeah, I mean, 2021 looks like, I don't know, maybe it's just because there has been a lack of actual game festivals that it seems like there's not a whole lot that has a release date tied to them. Especially since, you know, I mean, for me, a lot of my main focus is on indie game companies, and some of them are working from home, or some people, I mean, I've seen some companies are talking about production being slower because of this whole situation, and so it'll be interesting to see how it's going to, I don't know, maybe, because it seems like it's the time to game. I mean, there's never a better time to start gaming than now, because, you know, we're trapped at home. If you're not watching TV or whatnot, then you should probably be gaming or something to occupy your time, or go on an adventure that you can't go on, type of thing.
It's now's a really good time to really get into, like, things like Persona 5, those 99 plus hour games. Because if you're in this fortunate situation of where you live by yourself and you've got nothing but time to game, then now's a great time. Unfortunately, if you're on lockdown with your family, I don't think it's really going to help the gaming situation. But, you know, it's good to have those distractions in place. And I think certainly when we went into the lockdown, we saw, like, everyone suddenly getting into Animal Crossing and buying Ring Fit Adventure, really optimistically that they were going to work out through the lockdown. So I'm really curious to know how many of the Ring Fit adventures are still being played with compared to the amount of people still playing Animal Crossing. So
That's a good question. It's just the same concept as how many people we were having a discussion with my friend the other day about. We had a lot of people that, like, pretty much bought all, like, cleared the bicycles off of the market. How many of those people are still going to be biking next year, right? It's always the same concept, right? But, I mean, you know, well, we can only stay hopeful for 2021. Although, I mean, hopefully, you know, we're going to be able to get some time to get back into some normal gaming despite the crazy situation. I mean, because I feel like for both of us, the situation has only made our real life situation worse than for other people. But I mean, I always say, despite being busy, I mean, I'm very fortunate that I still have a actual real life job. So, or else, yeah. You know, I'd have to try and make this into something profitable, and that would be a even more stressful time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, also, we've got to remember as well that going into 2021, this is going to be the year that we're really going to see these next new generation of consoles, yes. Such as the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, or the Xbox Monolith, whatever you want to call it, are really going to start seeing titles being released for them. So Now at the moment, where if you're one of those lucky few people, you've got very few games to play, but going into 2021, there's definitely titles that are going to be coming out for those consoles, and it's going to be obviously interesting to see what is going to be coming out at the top of it, because at the moment, it's hard going off the two release shows that we had, which console really sort of, you know, gave us the most to really be excited to. We saw a lot of concepts, but we didn't really see anything that was like, oh, I must rush out and buy a console now, sort of games, which was the most disappointing aspect of it. But I think as we go through the releases, we'll certainly maybe get a clearer idea of which way to sort of lean towards it when it comes to these new generation of consoles.
Definitely.
So should we start with January then?
Yes.
Always a good place to start. I mean, obviously, most importantly, in January, on the 14th, we get the re-release of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game, complete edition, which is going to be on all systems, including Stadia, and most importantly, the Nintendo Switch, which is where I plan to buy it, because it's the sort of game that, you know, much like the Capcom Beat-em-up collection and Cuphead, it just really lends itself to the pick-up-and-play style of gaming that the Nintendo Switch essentially provides. And I think this would be another great title to add to the library, much like Neon Demon. So I'm very excited for this one, especially because it's been a title that was deleted for so, so long. So that when we heard that theme music at the Game Show Awards, it was just sort of like, oh, this is all the gold at the end of the rainbow right here, and we get our hands on it so early as well in the year. So needless to say, that's already a big pick for myself there.
Yeah, I mean, for me in January, I think there's really just two standout titles. Both of them released on January 28th. The first is The Medium, which is great that I still have my Xbox Game Pass. Hopefully it will be on there. Is Bloober Team's next psychological horror game, The Medium, which looks like it's going at least to be Xbox exclusive, but for the new console, for the new gen system, and on Windows. So that sounds like it's going to be a fun time. I mean, Bloober Team had Layers of Fear before, which I enjoyed quite a bit, and their follow-up games I haven't played personally, but I have seen some footage, which looks pretty promising also. You know, more games to catch up before I get onto this one, unless it heads on the Game Pass, so we'll see how that one goes. And, I mean, the second game coming out on January 28th is this indie game by Skeleton Crew Studio, which is Olegia. I had tried out the demo for the Game Awards Festival on Steam, and it's really cool because they use this this interesting mechanic of using it's like you have this legendary harpoon, so you have this kind of weapon where it shoots out and then it pulls back, so there's kind of like this double hit. The controls are a little funky in the demo mode, so I want to see how it's going to turn out when they actually do the release.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Medium is another title to be very excited of, especially as it's got the split screen sections where you go between the two realms, the real world and the spirit realm. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see. And the fact that this is a title that's been bouncing around for really since like the times of the PS3 and the Xbox 360. But now that we've got it looking to come out on the Xbox Series X and for PC, so those machines that can really handle the demands of this game, it's hopefully going to be something quite special to look at. So maybe it'd be this sort of standout, especially when it comes to like the exclusive titles that would sort of swing more people towards looking at the Xbox rather than the PlayStation.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it also adds to the fact that, you know, Troy Baker is one of the is voicing the primary antagonist, so at least we know that we're in for some good voice acting.
Yeah, definitely. On the more indie side of things as well, we got Cyber Shadow, which is out on the 26th. If you're a fan of the old sort of ninja platform games, such as things such as like Ninja Gaiden, this one's really going to appreciate, especially because it's got that old school sort of graphics to it. Very reminiscent of the likes of Mega Man in its style of platforming, and to see elements of Metroid in there as well. But no, this one certainly looks really nice and colourful. The idea of, again, it's another of these games where it takes a very sort of old school graphic style and has a lot of new elements that probably would never have been possible back in the day to it. So it's certainly one that looks interesting as well. Again, that one's going to be on Windows, Nintendo Switch, PS4 and Xbox One. Also in January, we got the Yakuza Remastered Collection, which is coming out for both Xbox One and Windows. If you're a fan of the Yakuza games, I know that a few people out there are. It'd be nice to have that as a collection. We also finally get to see the console release of Super Meat Boy Forever, a game that will both delight and frustrate you in equal measure. This long-awaited sequel, for the longest time, we didn't know it was coming out, and then suddenly it was like, oh, it's out. and we finally get to see it on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One right at the end of January. So at the moment, it's a timed release. It's on Nintendo Switch at the moment, and it's on, not Steam, but the other one.
Epic?
Yes, it's on the Epic Game Store at the moment. So you can only get your hands on it if you've got the right platform. But if you're waiting for the console release, you're going to be waiting a little bit longer. It's out towards the end of January.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, January 20th also has the sequel for Hitman 3. I mean, I don't know if you've been into the Hitman series. I played a little of Hitman 2, I think. And then I didn't really finish it. We had some kind of funky controls that, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Hitman 3 is coming out. I'm guessing it's going to be a good time. It's on all platforms, including the new gen consoles as well as Stadia.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 8th installment of the Hitman series, and this is going to wrap up the World of Assassination trilogy that really started with Hitman back in 2016, the episodic release title, that really in many ways revived this format, really leading into Hitman 2 releasing in 2018. But I know that Hitman certainly got its fans, and certainly we're expecting more of the same from this one as well. It's certainly got some interesting new locations, including Dubai, Dartmoor, Berlin, and Chongqing. Mm-hmm. With players who owned Hitman and Hitman 2 will be able to import maps, levels, and their progress into Hitman 3. So it's, again, completing that whole world experience as well. But certainly from what we've seen of the test footage of the Dubai map, it certainly looks to be something particularly special. And when you consider that this is also going to be on the new generation platforms as well, there is a really sort of like a lot of opens up a whole host of new options really for where they can take the game. So yeah, it'd be interesting. I'm interested to see that one, even though I really do suck at Hitman games. It all goes south so quick. You think you've been all sneaky, and then it just takes one thing and it just goes all to hell. And then you think, oh, just screw this, I'm just going to just run and gun this. Anything else in January that you like to look of, Kim?
Nope.
So that takes us on to February. February, first off, we've got Little Nightmares 2 on the 11th. We're obviously huge fans of the original Little Nightmares game. I think we've made no sort of bones about how much we love that game, and to finally get the sequel, I'm just super excited to see where this series goes next, because the first one was such an immersive experience, following this little, you know, was it raincoater clad child called Six who escaped the moor, and now that she's going to be meeting this little boy called Mono, mm-hmm. who wears a brown paper bag as a mask, and this idea that we're going to see like a real teamwork element this time. So we're the location shifted this time. We're going to be in a metropolis situation, so it's a town called the Pale City, but details are a little limited at the moment, but I'm just really excited to just play more of this world, because the first Little Nightmares was just such a delight, and I think not enough people have taken the time to check it out yet, which of course we urge you all to do.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I mean, Little Nightmares is not only just the atmosphere, and I think Tarsier Studios is very smart because they really keep a lot of things under wraps so that you really go in experiencing it to the max. I actually went to the extent that they have the demo, but I actually didn't play it because I really just wanted to save the full experience for when the game came out. And I'm just wondering whether we're going to have some kind of other lore that's going to go with it, pretty much. So I don't know. It's gonna be a fun time. I'm pretty confident that, you know, it's hopefully not going to be too disappointing, or it's gonna live up at least to the first game, and you know, we'll have some nice discussion points as well on the game itself when it comes out. And hopefully, you know, if all plans go to, you know, all plans go well, maybe we will be doing this as, you know, as a near launch date probably.
Yes, hopefully so. Also being re-released, we've got Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, which is being released on Nintendo Switch, continuing their line of re-released Mario games. We already had the Trilogy Pack, which gave us Mario 64, Sunshine Mario, and Mario Galaxy on the time release, and now we get the release of Super Mario 3D, a title which originally was released on the Wii U, so you'd be forgiven if you missed it the first time around, but certainly one of those titles that a lot of people have been really hoping was to get transferred over to the Switch, and now finally it is going to be on the Switch as well. So if you're an old school Mario fan, then February the 12th is going to be obviously a date to mark in your calendar there. Also coming out in February, but no date confirmed, we got Destruction All-Stars, which is a vehicle combat game for the PS5. There's not enough vehicle combat games just generally, especially since the Twisted Metal series has gone on kind of hiatus. Vigilante 8 again is still on hiatus. We're still waiting for a Vigilante 8 free to come out, but Destruction All-Stars is looking to try and fill that gap when it comes out at some point in February. No date confirmed for that one yet.
Yeah, I mean, February overall seems like it is a fairly big... there is a few releases coming out, but mostly I think it's just re-releases and releases coming on, you know, consoles other that's been released before, or, you know, like the Neo is having its whole remastered complete edition, which is crazy because what is it it's being remastered for PS5. But I'm sure people who really like this type of game is going to enjoy it. And then, you know, Neo 2 is going to have its whole remastered and complete edition for PS4, and then the remaster is going to be for PS5. So pretty much all these games with pretty decent graphics already and, you know, a decent amount of challenge is going to be landing on the new consoles as well. I mean, other than that, if you look, Nintendo Switch is getting the Silver Case, which is a game that I've owned for a while but never got around to playing. But has some decent reviews. I mean, it was originally released, I think, in 99 on the PlayStation as, like, this adventure visual novel. But now it's heading to Nintendo Switch. So, I mean, if that's your kind of thing, it seems like, you know, it's very investigative sort of thing. Like, that it should be kind of fun.
Yeah, definitely so. Lots of remasters coming up in 2021, which is really weird to see. When you go through and it's all like remasters of games that, and director's cuts of games that you didn't think would really sort of warrant one, but there's many coming out. I mean, you've got things like Sea of Solitude, which is getting director's cut in March. And then, as you said already, we got Noir, being remastered in February, so...
I don't know. I mean, Sea of Solitude is a different case, I think, because when they were talking about it, I don't know if it's going to be true or not, but I mean, from the released version that there is right now, which I recently bought and I'm about to start playing soon, the director's cut is supposed to kind of make it better, add a little bit more to the experience of what it is. So it's supposed to have that kind of appeal, and it's only going to be, the director's cut is only offered on the Switch. So, I mean, this means the Switch players are going to get a different experience, I guess, maybe a little bit more refined from what was already released on PC and probably consoles and stuff. I don't remember what platforms it was released before. But I mean, if you look at March in general, I mean, there's Yakuza Like a Dragon that's heading to the new, that's on going to be released on the new gen, PS5, pretty much. But there's, you know, there's the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake, which I personally really like the game, so I'm interested to see how it's gonna change as a remake, how extreme that remake is gonna be.
It's always touch and go though when we have the remakes, whether we're gonna get like a Resident Evil remaster, which could be really good, or we're gonna have something like the recent 13 remaster, which was really horrible. So you never know which way it's gonna go, and you just hope that they're going to do it with justice. I mean, we saw with like Warcraft 3 Reforged, which was just god awful, and the fact that they made it that you can no longer play the original Warcraft 3. They completely eliminated it just so that they can push through the Reforged version. Is just a real sort of slap in the face. So, yeah, it's hopefully they do it well. Although I would just prefer them just to make a new Prince of Persia, you know, title than just remastering an old one. But
yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, I mean, if they make a new one, it's going to be for the new gen probably to try to sell those consoles, which no one can acquire. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, if we talk about next gen, there are some, you know, there's a few more titles coming out. We have Returnal, which in the kind of virtual E3 or whatever, we've already seen those in conferences, but it was more of a cinematic. So it's still, I can't remember if we've actually seen an actual trailer of gameplay for that at this point. But I mean, that one's going to come out on March 19th, and it was one that is a PS5 exclusive. So it'll, you know, it's definitely, if you're into that sort of third person shooter sort of universe, then I believe Returnal is set in space. Yeah, it has some roguelike elements. It has a bit of sci-fi to it. So, you know, you're a space pilot. You're playing as a space pilot. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how this game is gonna, you know, be appealing for the people with the new gen console.
Definitely so. I mean, also at the start of March as well, we got Harvest Moon One World, which is coming out for the Nintendo Switch and PS4. Harvest Moon, it's just one of those series, much like Animal Crossing. It's definitely got its fans, and I think that they're no doubt going to rush out and buy that regardless of what we say of this one. But it's just one of those games that, you know, people just really, really like for some reason. So it'd be interesting to see what this one brings.
I don't know. I mean, Harvest Moon is kind of our generation of what people have right now of Stardew Valley, right? It's very much the same type of, you know, farming simulation. It has this really nice world to it. It's a fun little experience. It's not very dramatic. It's really cute, you know. I mean, I'm not against any of it. I used to play Harvest Moon, you know, a little when I was, but you know, most people who know I'm not much of a simulation gamer. I don't really like anything that's about simulation. It doesn't really intrigue me as much as other people. But I mean, March has obviously another exciting title for us, and that's going to be on the 26th. Hazelight's new project is coming out, It Takes Two, which is another co-op experience. Also, you know, I mean, I love that they always give you a friends code, so only one person needs to have the game in order to play the game, to have some friend join you to play the game, which is a great experience. And I mean, Joseph Ferris has proven over and over again that he is really good at creating these dual characters, co-op experiences. I mean, I'm coming off of playing A Way Out that I just finished, and it was a really great experience. Just having the cinematic feeling to it. Obviously, It Takes Two is different because you're about, I think it's two dolls or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, you're a couple that's going through some marital strife, and they get transported into a fantasy world where they're forced into the body of these two dolls.
Yeah.
And you have to work your way through this this world to get your way back into the real world. And it looks a lot of fun. It's interesting the fact that after A Way Out, the fact that they've decided to go a different route again. And I can see like elements of... Oh, what's the thing with the bloody whip? With the Fred boy or whatever his name was.
Unravel.
For myself, it brings back a lot of memories of Unravel 2. Just that style of cooperative play there. And I'm really excited to see. I mean, they've already proven themselves already with A Way Out and what they did with that. So I'm sort of really excited to see what they do with a different canvas, really. And certainly from what we've seen, it's certainly been one of the more exciting titles that we've seen recently, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Joseph Ferris is a very enthusiastic man, but he does have some really great, I think, concepts and storytelling abilities, I guess, that really does work for a lot of games. I mean, Brothers was a really great project, and then after we had A Way Out, that's also proved to be really successful. So, you know, he's already 2 for 2, so I'm hoping it's going to be a 3 for 3 when this comes out.
Of course, definitely so. And then we're obviously into April. You've got Guilty Gear Strife, which is another addition to the long-running series there, which is coming out for PS4, PS5. So if you're a fan of the anime-style fighting games, then you'll probably be already on top of that one as well. We've also got Humankind, which is coming out at the end of that month as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're doing a remake of Nier Replicant. I mean, they're riding on pretty much the success of Nier Automata at this point to re-release this game, and then they have this funky title with a lot of digits behind it called version 1.224744871139. I do not memorize it. Like, I'm reading it off a screen. So, so I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they are going to re-release this and what's going to change, right? Because, I mean, Nier Automata, I really, really liked because it was... I really liked just how the combat was structured and how they played with the camera angles of how these battles were going down and the story itself and the world built and even the monsters you had to fight was really, really nice. And it was actually my first time going into this Nier franchise. So I was really, really impressed by it. And I always wondered what the previous games were like before. So, I mean, this is going to be a nice chance to really get to see what the other games like and this what other stories and what this other realm, this world, what other stories this world has to offer.
Definitely so. We've also got Deathloop, which is coming out in May. This is one of the big launch titles for the PlayStation 5, and it's coming from Bethesda. This one's going to see you playing the role of Colt, an assassin stuck in a time loop, who wakes up on a beach on the island of Blackreef. At the same time, tasked with taking out eight targets, and it's going to see a lot of things that we've seen before in the likes of Dishonored and Prey, previous titles from Arcane. So if you enjoyed those, then definitely check that out. And it's going to also provide the alternate view where players can also take on the role of Juliana, an agent tasked to protect the time loop and take out Colt. So you're going to be able to see the story from both sides, which is going to be a really interesting angle to it. But certainly when we look at these launch titles for the next gen consoles, I think Deathloop has been certainly one of the highlights there. Much like Back to Blood, Back for Blood, which is from many of the original team members who gave us Left 4 Dead. For years we've been waiting for Left 4 Dead 3, which has never materialized, but now with Back for Blood, it seems to be the spiritual sequel we've all been waiting for. But this one's also going to be out on PlayStation 4, as well as Xbox One, including the next generation consoles. And from what we've seen, seems to be taking on many of the same sort of gameplay elements of Left 4 Dead, but bringing in some new fun elements as well. So I think it's definitely going to be one to check out, with both the option for 4-player cooperative games as well as the 8-player person versus person modes as well, which if it's anything like Left 4 Dead 2, I think it's going to be a really fun title to play, because Left 4 Dead corrected some of the mistakes of the original game. They just left us chomping the bit for a sequel that we never got, and I think if they take what they learn from Left 4 Dead 2 and apply it to this one, I think it's going to be a really interesting title and a good co-op game to pick up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, co-op game is kind of, you know, virtually playing with our friends is going, anything right now in that sort of world is really cool, because it gives you that advantage to actually talk to people instead of staring at the walls of our house. And, you know, just gaming alone in our little lonesome corner. But yeah, I mean, you know, Back 4 Blood looks really fun. I've seen some of the, you know, pre-alpha roundup when people were having these pre-alphas and streaming it. The game is really solid. It feels like it's fairly interesting. And, you know, I'm not much of a co-op gamer, but I'm not much of a shooter FPS type of person, but the world does seem really nice. That you know, it would be something that I would like to try when it does come out. But I mean, I'm definitely more excited for May 21st for Deathloop, mostly because it's just you know, I feel like it's been a while Bethesda's come out with anything. Is it just me?
It's the problem is with Bethesda, they've been so caught up in trying to flog the dead horse that was Fallout 76. And see, even now it's, my brain's like, just to me, a mention of it, it's trying to eliminate any existence of that game, and they keep continuing to patch it and tell us, yeah, it still works, but it just feels that right now I think they're better off just cutting their losses on that title completely and just getting back to giving us a Fallout 6.
I mean, Arkane Studios has been, you know, they've given some solid titles, and I think it's one of those studios under Bethesda that's definitely been very consistent with their offerings. I mean, Prey was a solid title, and they really do kind of dive into different worlds, even if the mechanics are, you know, fairly simple or fairly similar to each other, or you know. But I mean, Deathloop seems like a really interesting one, especially with the style of what it is, and you know, I really do enjoy this whole time loop situation. I'm a big fan of those things, and it's going to be interesting to see how it's done in a video game. Perhaps it's done somewhere before, but I've never experienced it before. It's going to be interesting to see how that's going to be done, but I just don't know. I mean, if it's Windows, is it going to be on Steam or whatever? So, we'll see when that comes out, because I don't plan on getting a PS5 anytime soon. So,
cool. Now on to obviously the titles that don't have release dates, but we know they are coming out in 2021. There's a lot of titles that have been transferred over to new ports, such as like the Apex Legends, which is heading to Nintendo Switch. As yet, we don't have a date for that one, but I don't know. I just can't see it working particularly well, but you know, it's happening. Aragami 2 is set to be released in either the first or second quarter for PS4, PS5, Xbox as well. So Aragami is a fun little, again, it's another fun ninja title. I think if you haven't played it already, you can actually get it on like the Xbox Game Pass, so it's one that's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, another game that was talked about, and it seems like right now it's going to be a Xbox exclusive from what it looks like, is I guess it's a single developer indie game 12 Minutes. I mean, we saw a little snippet of it in one of the E3s maybe a year, 2 years ago, something like that. Probably 2 years ago. Maybe 2019. And I remember the game being really, really focusing on 12 minutes of reconstructing this top-down perspective of an apartment of this crime that went on, and you're kind of piecing through this situation before the police arrive at the scene, and you know how and what happened and all that stuff. I guess it's kind of a loop also. But the whole setup of it seems really intriguing, especially since I really do love games which focus on this whole solving a mystery and just, you know, solving one kind of mystery. And, you know, the game saying, according to Wikipedia, it's saying that the loops may last only 12 minutes, but the game is going to be about 6 to 8 hours to complete. So you can imagine how many loops you're going to be doing.
Another title that we were huge fans of the previous game, and that's Blood Bowl 3, to tie in with the re-release of the physical game. Blood Bowl 3 is going to be coming out following the new rule set in either the first or second quarter, again coming from Cyanide, which makes us very excited because Blood Bowl 2 is just a fantastic game through and through. Even if we're not particularly good at it, it's still a fun game to play nonetheless, and certainly it was a title that when they developed the Legendary Edition, which just added so many fun elements to the game. So here's hoping that Blood Bowl 3 remains as fun a title as Blood Bowl 2 was.
Yeah, I mean, Blood Bowl was an interesting discovery on my part, I think. I mean, you're a big fan of it in general.
The enthusiasm's there. The skill's really not, though.
No, I mean, there's definitely an appeal. I wonder what things are going to change for the sequel. Maybe, I don't know if they're going to have new teams or new mechanics or whatnot. It'll be interesting to see. Because, I mean, Blood Bowl is pretty fun as a very different kind of sports game. Because it's kind of like, you know, fantasy football. But a bit more, I guess, rough. Even more rough.
It's just insanely violent at the same time.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that are unpredictable, right? Because sometimes you have these animations that you choose. You make a move and then you don't expect something to happen and that the other team will react in a certain way, and then you'll need to kind of reconstruct your game plan a little. There's definitely a lot of strategy involved, and it's something that's pretty fun, I think. I mean, I find it surprisingly fun, and I think about going back to the game every once in a while, which is surprising because I don't really like to play sports games either. But other than Blood Bowl, I mean, we go on some indie titles. Raw Fury is having, I'm not sure if it's by an individual studio, but I think it's by Eggnut is the studio. Raw Fury is publishing is Backbone. It's this little, I play the prologue of this game, and you play this raccoon detective in this kind of like anamorphic anamorphic world, and this detective is trying to solve this crime that's gone on, and he's going through these different things. It has a bit of this it's a bit point and click, but not really. It has a really nice feeling to it. It's this dystopian noir world that, you know, I'm really looking forward to it because I played just a prologue and that was really fun. And like the clues weren't especially hard to find, but you still needed to kind of connect the dots a little. That's expected for, it's supposed to come out on PC. So expected for Q1, Q2. And another game is obviously there was Bendy and the Ink Machines sequel is coming out. So
Bendy and the Dark Revival.
Yeah, so Bendy and the Dark Revival, but this is the sequel of Bendy and the Ink Machine, which I think a lot of people really went into Bendy and the Ink Machine with this kind of, you know, really liked it for that Disney style art. Where it's, you know, that 1930s cartoon style. And then you go into this game and the first episode was really, really solid. And as you went along, the game kind of lost its appeal a little in the middle. It had some fetch quest episodes. It had some, just lacked a little bit of depth. But, you know, they did have some really interesting characters, and they did a spin-off with the game as well. They did a Android game as well, and now we're here with this sequel that's coming out, and...
Well, we say sequel, but at the same time, it's also a game that's going to be not either a prequel or a sequel to Bendy and the Ink Machine. You're going to be mm-hmm. playing a completely new character called Audrey, who's a woman who finds herself turned into an ink person and finds herself in Joey Drew Studios. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be filled with both new and returning characters as well as revamped looks, according to the brief anyway. So,
So I'm interesting to see. I mean, I do like the idea and I do like the art style. And I think that... I think as far as this goes, the potential of it being good is definitely there. It's just that it really depends on how they're going to structure the game and, I mean, how they're going to release it. Because the first one was released over 5 episodes over, you know, I don't know, a year or something like that. It was a good amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe that you skipped over Bus Simulator 21, the follow-up to Bus Simulator 18, where you get to drive around a fixed-line version of San Francisco in not only a double-decker bus, but electric buses as well.
You're talking about this, but my eyes are on another title that I saw,
okay,
which is called Lake. Okay, Lake is set in 1986, and it's a postal worker simulator.
See, who is buying these games? It's like
I might. It's set in the year that I was born, and it's in a profession that I know many people are doing in the current day.
Harmar Superstars just recently showcased the fact he's a postie at the moment for UPS. So check him out. It's like when we had the start of lockdown and PlayStation had the infinite wisdom to give everyone Farm Simulator so we can sit and watch the grass grow.
then I think most people is like, yeah, forget about it. I can just sit here and paint the wall and watch paint dry.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same experience, even though the prospect of choosing between 60 different hats for your farmer is very fun. But most people, they do the one bit of combine harvesting and then just don't bother to do anything else because you immediately get into a black hole, it feels like, with that game. So. And then you don't, unfortunately, have the option to set fire to the farm or burn it to the ground like you do with other building games. But finally, we do in quarter one or quarter two, we get Evil Genius 2 World Domination, the much prolonged sequel to the original Evil Genius, which is kind of similar in terms of like Tropico, in terms of the fact it's a business management sim where you play an evil genius and you have to recruit henchmen and set traps around your secret lair base, as well as expanding your operation over a series of missions. It's certainly a title that was a lot of fun, the original was to play, so I'm hoping that the sequel is as much fun as well, because... But it was unusual, the style of gameplay, much like Tropico, in the fact that most of these games you... are given this sort of sandbox to build on and you just build it up and you get unlocked more things, whereas with these games you get given a sandbox and you achieve hit a certain criteria and then you moved on to the next thing and you're more playing through like a storyline, which made it a real sort of interesting twist on things. But certainly everything certainly points to the fact that it's going to be as much fun as the previous one, so let's hope so.
Moving on, I think, to some more indie games. I harp on about this all the time. Every single chance I get. One of the most anticipated games for me is probably Chris Tales, which doesn't have a date attached to it, but it's expected to come out Q1 or Q2 of 2021 on all consoles, including next gen. It's this RPG game. Which has three, pretty much you go into, you have like a split screen of where there's like the past, present, and the future, I think. So you kind of work your world around the three worlds that, you know, the three time periods to kind of solve these puzzles that you're in. So it's interesting. I mean, I played a bit of the demo, and it's, the slice that I played... Everything is very fun, including, you know, from the combat style to how the game manages this playing between your time periods and stuff. It's all fairly well done. I mean, it's well thought out. So it's going to be interesting to see how that story is going to be over a entire game, obviously. Yeah.
We've also got Evil Dead the Game, which is coming out, which is not only going to feature Bruce Campbell as Ash Williams, but also feature Kelly Maxwell from the TV series Ash vs. the Evil Dead as well. The game is going to be a co-op gameplay as well as featuring player versus player. Mm-hmm. Based on the Evil Dead franchise, and will not only feature the cabin in the woods, but also 25 weapons, including Ash's trademark chainsaw and shotgun. Very little seen of this at the moment, but everything certainly seems to be pointing in the right direction, and certainly there's been good Evil Dead games previously, just like Hail to the King. So I'm really excited to see which tier this one sort of lives up to that sort of legacy, really.
I'm a bit confused because Evil Dead, the game, really seems like it's playing. It is supposed to be a co-op sort of experience, though. So I feel like they're riding on this this hype of pretty much the Dead by Daylight type of thing, because they're supposed to also have this skill tree type of mechanics, and just, you know, because all these games are starting to have this, all these co-op experiences, horror games, whatever. I mean, they're probably going to one-up the Friday the 13th game, which seems to have kind of fallen off the map somewhere. no one talks about it as much anymore. But, I mean, it, you know, horror game co-ops and survival and all that is super popular right now. I mean, really, thanks to Dead by Daylight, despite its all its buggy fixes and and buggy patches and all that sort of stuff that it's been going through with the launch of its latest... latest update and killer and whatever. But I mean, I really hope that Evil Dead... I feel like, you know, I haven't really seen any of the previous games that it's been released, but somehow it seems like it's time for an Evil Dead game to come out, especially in this universe, because they're, you know, the world itself is pretty nice, especially with all the weapons and all the funky little stuff that they can, and if they're offering all these weapons, it'll be interesting to see where they're going to take this game. And I mean, I'm interested to see who's going to get on board with it and what people will say about it in general. But I mean, in the same world of horror, I mean, the third installment of the Dark Pictures Anthology is coming out, called House of Ashes. I mean, if you haven't played the previous two, Man of Medan got really great reviews, and then earlier this year we had Little Hope that came out. Obviously, these games are by Supermassive Games, which are the people who did Until Dawn, which is, you know, obviously a big deal, because Until Dawn was also one of those highly rated games for us, which, you know, I always think about going back to playing and trying to see if I can save more people than the first time.
Yeah, it's we're still waiting for a proper Until Dawn sequel, aren't we? It's just there's a lot of bounding around the actual title, but then no one's actually bothering to give us the Until Dawn sequel that we really want. And especially the first one was just such a tense gaming experience, to say the least.
Well, I mean, they came out with the Inpatient, which was only released on PSVR, right? And that was kind of the prequel to Until Dawn, which set up the world a little bit better. But I mean, back then, I feel like, you know, not a lot of people had VR. That was like kind of like the early days of PSVR being released, and
not a lot of people still have VR. So
yeah, more people have VRs. I know more people that have VRs than I did before.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely would be down for another Until Dawn, but I honestly don't know if that's going to happen, especially since if Supermassive Games is working really on this Dark Pictures Anthology, which is going, you know, considering it's an anthology, it's probably going to go on for as long as there's people playing it and interested in this kind of world and story.
Yeah. One of the big titles of next year is going to be Far Cry 6, continuing in the ongoing legacy of shoot 'em up games that the series has carved out. Really, again, we're expecting more of the same, although it's promising one of the largest playgrounds to date, as we this time move to the tropical setting, moving away from America, the fifth installment. This time we're going to be heading to the Caribbean, to topple a dictatorship as you take on the role of guerrilla fighter Danny Rojas, with the option to play either male or female character. So that's going to be interesting to see. And obviously there's a lot of people excited the fact it's got Giancarlo Esposito, who's going to be playing El Presidente Anton Castillo, as we saw in the trailer. So that's obviously got a lot of people excited already.
Yeah, Far Cry has gone a long way, right? I mean, the last game was the one in the jungle? No,
In the States.
Yeah, it was in the States, right? After some dystopia, and then is it that one?
Well, it started off originally. You was out tackling a cult in Far Cry 5, and you were out in the backwoods of America, which was a really great setting to finally see it taken to a more at home. And then at the end of that game, it threw you into a post-apocalyptic setting for New Dawn, right, which was mixed reviews. So I think they're hoping to get things back on track with this one.
Right. Yeah, I'm not, you can tell I'm not much of a Far Cry gamer. I do think the concept of Far Cry is really nice. It's just not, you know, it's still an FPS, and that's something I'm really, really bad at. No matter how much I practice, I can't seem to get better. I think it's just age.
It's probably what we're going to throw over to the stunt gamer, because he loves a good FPS, and it's every time he's in a fight.
Pretty much. I mean, in the final part of A Way Out, it was a lot of third person shooting, and pretty much he carried me. I'm not afraid to say it. He carried me most of the way.
He does that a lot in these games.
There was like 13 enemies. I knocked out 3 through stealth, and then he killed the rest of the 10 type of thing.
Just one man army debt. This is so like, you just sit there like...
No. I was trying to do my stealth, but my stealth is so slow, so I ended up killing only the people on the outer borders type of thing, and then he would just be, done.
Of course.
Yeah, so moving on, since, we got a list to go. But I think one of the most surprising things, and I don't know why I'm always so surprised, is that there's another sequel to Five Nights at Freddy's, Seek Security Breach. I always seem to think that Scott Cawthon is done with this franchise. And it always feels like he's saying that it's the last one, but it's not. Or that I'm hearing that it's the last one, but it's not. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes, because I remember the last game that he had was a few years ago, and it was a little bit different in that, you know, in the lore that I was trying to expand for this world. I just don't know. I mean, it's been so long since the last game, at least it feels that way, that I don't know who's still following Five Nights at Freddy's, but then at the same time, I mean, what do I know, you know?
Another big title that we're excited for is Ghostwire Tokyo.
Definitely.
Which we saw at E3, but the E3 before, at 2019, where the same year everyone kind of fell in love with Akumi Nakamura, who was on hand as the creative director of the game, to introduce it to us all. And again, it's always interesting. It's always fun when you have the developer comes to the stage. They're just full of so much energy and personality. That certainly was the case here. Whereas a lot of the times, these guys are just not wanting to be there, and normally been forced on stage at gunpoint to promote whatever game that they're responsible for. But this one certainly is going to be interesting. It's got a combat system described as karate meets magic, and set in a Tokyo where all the citizens have vanished mysteriously, and otherworldly spirits known as visitors have invaded the city, with the player, yourself, using supernatural powers to begin to essentially combat these spirits. This is going to be a next-gen game, so if you're looking to play it and haven't upgraded already, you might want to start saving the pennies for that.
or get a good PC.
Or find someone to fund you. I don't know. Get a sugar daddy or sugar mommy or something to buy you a next-gen console.
Yeah.
And then just, ghost them. We also have an untitled God of War sequel, which is coming out for PS5. I mean, obviously God of War was, one of the games of the decade. It's just The Last God of War is just such a phenomenal experience, and certainly I think one of those games that if you didn't own a PS4, you probably rushed out and bought a PS4 to play it, as it was just a phenomenal experience, especially the switching from Greek to Norse mythology, which proves that there is still a lot of left in the tank when it came to the God of War trilogy, and just how easy it was to adapt to a completely new setting.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, what's rumored is that the God of War sequel is going to keep to this Norse mythology type of setting. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, obviously the first game already pulled a lot of really, really great tricks, had some really nice bosses, and
you got to hit people world... with an axe. What more do you need? That was...
Yeah, the world was really good. I mean, I know that there was a lot of... mixed feelings about the boy, but you know, I've talked to some friends who each had kind of a different feeling about the boy and how useful he was in the, you know, whole situation. I think he's, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think that, you know, obviously the game, you know, then the new setting is definitely really good. I mean, I'm a fan of the original games, so this one was just a step up, you know, just changing the scenario. So it'll be interesting to see where the sequel is going to go. Obviously, right now it's untitled, so the chances of it coming out next year, I'd say, are pretty slim. But, I mean, what do I know? what else is there to do but to make games if we keep in the if we keep being in this pandemic situation, right? Other than that, I mean, obviously we also have the sequel, which is expected to come out for Horizon Zero Dawn. Horizon Forbidden West is supposed to come out, or expected to come out, around Q3, Q4. On both PS4 and PS5 at the moment. I wonder if they're going to change that. I don't know.
Pass. Another big title that super excited to play is Gotham Knights. This is going to continue in the same vein of Gotham City, Arkham Knight. Those games with this time Batman has apparently died. The Gotham City Police Department has grown corrupt following the death of James Gordon, and it's left to Batman's allies, which is Nightwing, Batgirl, Robin, and Red Hood, to be the ones to restore justice to Gotham and prevent it from descending into chaos. Certainly from the trailer we saw, this is going to give you the option of playing all four of the Batman's closest allies, all of them having different fighting mechanics and different ways of going through the city. But certainly if any of the Arkham games have been going up, anything to go off, we're really going to be excited for this one as well, as this time you're going to be going up against Court of Owls, if you watch Gotham, they're a real sort of key figure there, and they're one of the oldest sort of crime families in Gotham. So it's I think it's going to be really, really good to see. And certainly the idea of that you're going to be playing these characters we've not played before, such as like Robin and Batgirl, and even like Red Hood and Nightwing, it's just a really exciting title all around, even if Batman may not be in it. So
yeah, I mean, at this point, we have so many Batman games, right? It's kind of nice that we're playing non-Batman.
You can never have Batman enough character. Batman games.
Pardon?
You can never have enough Batman games. We must keep making them.
That is true, but at the same time, like, the only time you usually get to play these other characters are in, you know, Injustice or something, where you're DLC in this big combat world, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, to have a world where you can play these other characters who, you know, a lot of times will probably be interesting to see how they're characterized or how they create these characters, you know, the stories behind them or whatever, is going to be pretty fun as well. I think it'll be refreshing because, you know, Gotham is an interesting city to explore no matter who you are.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm also glad the fact it's going to be coming out on all consoles as well. It's not just going to be limited to the new gen consoles, which was the case of Gotham Knight, which was a little frustrating at the time. Also on the re-release side of things, you've got Grand Theft Auto 5, which is coming out in the third or fourth quarter, PS5 and Xbox Series X, and will no doubt be greeted with whiny fanboys going on about where the hell is Grand Theft Auto 6. Well, for some reason, they've decided that they need to continue Grand Theft Auto onto the next generation of consoles, as it wasn't enough just to move it one generation. They're going to move it onto two generations now, as we see a version, which I have no idea what they're going to do with this game on a new console, but it's going to be available for the PS5s and the Xbox Series X as well.
Well, I mean, it's inevitable, right? Because as long as there's people still playing it, they can still create and bank on this kind of this world. So what's the urgency when people are still intrigued by the new content coming out in this one, right? But I mean, you know, if we talk about new, the sequel of Outlast is coming out, supposedly. It doesn't have any time frame, anything. But Outlast Trials is supposed to come out in 2021. As much as, you know, Overwatch 2, which is supposed to come out in 2021 in Q1, but it doesn't even have a release date, so it's going to be hard to tell.
Yep, Outlast Trials, really excited for this title, because the first Outlast game was absolutely phenomenal. It was a game that I enjoyed playing with my wife, and it was like our date night thing. We used to sit in and play Outlast. Now we can sit in because the government tells we're supposed to. So I'm hoping for more of the same of Outlast 1 rather than the sort of trippy sequel, which tried to put it into more of an outside sort of setting. So hopefully it's going to be more like the Asylum inner workings of Outlast 1, which was just both fascinating and engrossing and absolutely terrifying all at the same turn. So really big expectations for that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a lot of horror game sequels are coming out. I just realized how little new IPs are being developed. But yeah, I mean, Resident Evil 8, called Village, is supposed to come out as well next year. It's going to be interesting, I think, just to see where it takes it, because it's supposed to follow immediately, pretty much pick up after the events of where it ended in the 7th, so Biohazard. It's going to, you know, pretty much focus on what's his name? Ethan Hunt, I think, is that his name? I forgot his name.
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, so it's supposed to follow Ethan's story as he keeps going after, you know, obviously, you know, trying to find answers from Chris Redfield. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's supposed to be set in Europe, so still using that first-person perspective. So it'll be, you know, I mean, I'm hoping that it keeps up that, you know, aesthetic that it managed to create and that kind of, like, atmosphere that it was able to create in Resident Evil 7. So I really don't know where this is going to go. I mean, it's pretty certain it's going to be set in Europe. It's going to be a mysterious village. So
stuff's going to happen.
Stuff's going to happen. Probably some jump scares, you know, some shooting, some monsters, you know. Yeah, so sounds like we're making fun of it, but I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. Another one that I'm really excited for is Oddworld Soulstorm, which is going to be a remaster or reworking of Abe's Exodus. It's going to follow on from 2014's Oddworld New and Tasty. And this is a title that we were really excited to see when we saw the footage for this one. I think it was during the PlayStation launch. This was one of the games that they showcased, and it looked absolutely fantastic. So I'm really excited for this one, and more surprised as well the fact that we are going to be getting it on the current generation of consoles as well, because I thought for sure it was just going to be the next gen, but nope, it is going to be available for both PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch, as well as obviously the PS5. So very excited to see that one, much like No More Heroes 3, which is coming out for Nintendo Switch, continuing the real sort of standout title for Nintendo there. It's one of their more adult titles, much like Mad City, that you wonder how the hell that ever sort of slipped past Nintendo's sort of guidelines, because when Nintendo make games, they're always very sort of family slanted, and then you have games like Mad City and you have No More Heroes 3, which continues to fly in the face of everything that Nintendo are really establishing for their brand.
But yeah, I mean, there are, you know, other little games. I mean, Sherlock Holmes is having the Chapter 1 that's coming out. If you're a fan of, you know, the Sherlock Holmes games that's come out so far, from Frogwares, then, you know, this is a good one because Chapter 1, I mean, I was really excited about it when I saw the trailer. I don't know, one of the virtual events that happened. I can't remember which one right now during this year. And it was pretty much going back to a younger Sherlock Holmes, to how he started. And I, you know, for me, I think that that's pretty interesting because I feel like no one's really done kind of like this prequel style of retelling of Sherlock Holmes and where he began. And, you know, the first case that got him into, you know, before he became this, you know, popular detective.
Detective, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, if you like Stanley Parable or somehow you haven't played it yet or whatnot, then, you know, Stanley Parable is also having a kind of re-release and kind of, like, Ultra Deluxe. I'm not sure what's going to be an Ultra Deluxe, but that's something that's coming out, supposedly. I mean, there's also, if you like visual novels, Steins Gate Zero Elite is also kind of the remake of Steins Gate Zero, which is a really great visual novel if you haven't played it before. But I mean, I can't, you know, we were talking about this before, and I'm not sure if we actually released that episode, but we were talking about Stray, which is cyberpunk cats, and that's expected to come out in 2021 as well. But it's going to be for the next gen consoles. So yeah, I mean, it's not enough to make me buy a PS5 yet, but Cyberpunk Cats might eventually do it.
Just looking at what's left on the list, cause there's not a huge amount left. I mean, we've obviously got the new Ratchet & Clank, which is coming out as a launch title for PS5 and looked to be really sort of showcase of what the machine is capable of as we have more active sort of environments. But the one that's we hope is going to come out this year, but again, there's no confirmed dates, and that's Psychonauts 2. One of those titles that they bounce around continuously, that it's definitely going to come out, and yet we've still had no confirmed release date for it. But hopefully we'll have a release date for it soon, because it'd be really great to know that Psychonauts 2 is finally going to come out. Like Beyond Good and Evil 2, I mean, we've not seen anything since.
It's going to be another 15 years.
three showcases ago, it's been now that we saw that, and they were like, yeah, it's definitely going to happen. And yeah, we've had nothing since. So I don't know. We got us all excited, the fact that the first trailer had no Jade, and then Jade turns up as a potential evil person, possibly. It was hard to say where she stood, and then that's it. That's your lot so far. So it was a taunting taste, and we've not heard anything since. But there's certainly nothing showing in the release schedule that's
saying. I'm not gonna lie though, it's been so many years that I've kind of forgotten about it. You know, I kind of forgot that I was so excited about it, like, what, 3 E3s ago, and then yeah. It was just like everything's always an alpha, never gets out of alpha. And then, you know, and then eventually now they just don't talk about it.
It's like Skull and Bones. We were supposed to have Skull and Bones by now, but we've yet to see that.
Well, if you look at the PC Gamer list, they have it listed for 2021. Then, I mean, Skull and Bones is also one of those games. It's like, you know, Ubisoft, get your shit together. You know, stop releasing so many Assassin's Creed. Give me something else.
Yeah. Yeah, stop making all that money and focus on giving us games we want to play. Yeah, darn you for having such a successful business strategy.
It's like Ubisoft is like, shut us down.
yeah, I'm sure they're just gonna take this all completely to heart now, and just like get, be like, you know what, this is what those Game Walk kids were like talking about, we're just gonna shut this down, get back on that Skull and Bones thing. They're like people making games with like sticky back plastic and bottle tops now, just trying to rush it through. So but yeah, I've got nothing else on the list that's sort of really jumping out at me at the minute. I mean, obviously it could all change when we have like new trailers and stuff come out, but
no, I think that's about it. I mean, I think that, you know, some of these titles are going to mean a little bit more than just words on a screen, especially like, you know, because I, you know, as you call me, the Empress of Indie, you know, I wish I was, but I mean, the indie games is my main focus, and, you know, indie games is always this, maybe it'll be good, maybe it won't, you know, type of deal. So
I just, when it comes to independent gaming, though, I just have not the first clue. It's, I just feel like my parents, when they used to talk to them about gaming or anything, it's sort of like, what is this? So I had a lot of just trust in what you tell me, Kim, that's good. I just, like, take your word for it, so.
I mean, so far, I think we're mostly on the, you know, we've played fairly good indie games up to this point.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be, we're going to talk about it more when we get to later in the year, when more trailers come out, more dates are given, and that sort of thing. But, you know, at this current point, you know, I think this is where we're at, you know. I'm hoping some of the games are going to come out. There's a lot of games that I'm hoping will kind of make an appearance, you know, have more dates. You know, maybe, I don't know, Prey of the Gods or whatever, or Sable or Tunic, you know, our little Fox Zelda that kind of fell into the backdrop. That sort of stuff. But, I mean, there's games that kind of are dropped and we haven't really had any release dates that, you know, maybe it's going to change. Maybe things that are on the list right now are going to, you know, pop up on the radar. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what 2021 will give us. As long as they don't delay Little Nightmares 2 and It Takes Two, then I'm fine.
Yeah, of course. Well, that brings us to our rundown of the upcoming games for 2021. We hope you've enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed, as always, bringing it to yourself. Okay, so you can follow us at gamewarpblog.wordpress.com, and we are also on Facebook and Instagram as well. So make sure you give us a like over there. And wherever you happen to listen to us, please do hit the like and subscribe button. Leave us a review, as it all helps raise the profile of the show. But until next time, thank you for listening, and we will be back again soon. But until then, keep gaming.